Hello, friends,
and welcome to Mad as a Hatter,
a conspiracies and curiosities podcast. Awesome, guys. Well, if you are listening to us, it is, what day is it? Oh, Lordy, I'm sorry.
Wednesday.
The 27th.
There we go.
Yay. And you are listening to, about H.H. Holmes.
You're listening to Mad as a Hatter, Paige, talk about H.H. Holmes. Got that? You're good. You're listening to us either on Spotify, iTunes, or Google Play.
I'm taking the sugar away from Darby.
I had no sugar, only wine.
You've had chocolate-covered bananas, chocolate-covered strawberries. You are currently having a chocolate-covered... How did you grab that so fast? Guys, this is like trying to handle a child right now. So you just heard from Darby with D.B. Cooper. And keeping up with the acronyms, we're gonna talk about H.H. Holmes. Yes. Which is not his actual name.
No, I'm excited.
Yes. So I am a podcast. I try to focus on the why and not the who. So this is a very, very brief overview of H.H. Holmes.
You are a podcast?
I am a podcast. I am just one walking, talking audio wave.
Paige is a podcast. Got it.
I have no physical body. I am only alive.
I have no friends. That's what I'm learning. None of my friends are real.
I'm an AI system.
Like this morning when you walked up and were like, who are you talking to?
Yeah, I walk up to the front of the store and Darby's just talking loudly to herself. And I'm like, Darby, you good, fam?
I was talking to somebody. She just wasn't
our boss,
there.
But she was apparently hidden. I don't believe her. So I do focus on the why and not the who. So I am going over a very brief overview of H.H. Holmes. And I'm going to focus more on why H.H. Holmes was H.H. Holmes. I'm going to start calling him Holmes. That's a lot of H's.
Apparently, I can't say the word Holmes.
Holmes.
Holmes. Zach thought I was saying Holmes today.
Holmes.
Instead of Holmes.
That's a weird...
I don't hear the difference.
It is different. I barely hear it. I will, though, however, start with a brief, who was H.H. Holmes? A lot of people know this name, America's first serial killer. Chicago's World Fair, big deal. But it is very hard to nail down exact details about his life. There were so many lies, lack of details, a lot of tall tales told by Holmes himself. So kind of like how he disposed of the bodies and like his super inconsistent stories, like a lot of facts are unknown. So he was originally born Herman Webster Mudgett.
Mudgett.
His name is Mudgett. I have no qualms of why he changed his name.
I knew his name, but to be fair, I had only read it.
Yeah.
So when you say it out loud, I'm like, wait.
Mudgett. Herman Webster Mudgett.
Hermit Mudgett. I need you to get here now. Get your butt back here.
Herman.
Oh, I thought it was Hermit.
I know. Like Herman the Worm.
But still, Herman.
Do you know
Mudgett.
That song? Did you sing that when you were a kid?
Yeah, in kindergarten.
I was sitting on a fence post chewing my bubblegum. Playing with my yo-yo. Woo, woo. When along came Herman the serial killer.
Well, he kind of was.
I mean, yeah, he ate his whole family.
I was like, did you get to the part where he ate his mom? Like,
he ate his whole family and then burped.
Like,
and he was this big.
He kind of did. He kind of was a serial killer.
Originally born Herman Webster Mudgett, May 16th, 1861, in Gilmanton, New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
New Hampshire. I don't know how to say that state
name.
New Hampshire.
He was born to the Shire.
he's Shire folk.
He's from the 1600s, apparently.
The Lord of the Rings does not have a time frame.
But the UK does with the king and everything.
Oh, I thought you meant like the Shire, like the Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit Shire.
I mean, that's a place, but no, I was definitely talking about like
so I was going with the Shire folk,
like medieval times.
Oh. I didn't know that. I don't know they had a Shire back then. I'm a nerd.
Are you?
I'm a Tolkien nerd, and you're a history
like a
nerd. You're the boring nerd.
You're the one who doesn't understand Marvel.
Barvel?
Marvel.
Barvel?
Marvel.
You said Barvel.
Marvel. You can't even say the name right.
You drank a whole bottle of wine. What do you want from me? I just choked on a strawberry.
For me to get through this first bullet point.
You wanted more comedy? I'm giving you more comedy.
Oh my God. I'm giving you less wine next time.
So he was arrested.
I jumped his entire timeline. He was arrested.
He was not arrested yet.
He was born here and arrested now.
Sorry. He was interested in medicine early on. He apparently trapped animals and operated them as a child.
Sounds fun.
Again, with the hard to know details, this fact is unknown for its exact certainty, but this was cited in a couple different places.
Sounds fun.
Then one place said this, so I'm not putting this out as fact, but there was some mumblings that he may have killed a classmate.
I've heard that.
Yeah, so.
In the book I'm reading.
Yep. Devil in the White City. Yep. Mm-hmm. We're both reading that right now. So that's something that's popped out. Again, unverified. So let's get into some actually verified things. So on July 4th, 1878, he married Clara Lovering in Alton. They had a son, Robert. Robert Lovering Mudgett. He did not escape the name, unfortunately. And then Holmes, he was about like 18, 19, and so he enrolled in the University of Vermont at age 18, but he didn't like it and left after a year before going to the University of Michigan in 1882. There, he was kind of known for being kind of mediocre.
Well,
they were like, he was okay, which is kind of funny that he's known for like dissecting and breaking up bodies, but yeah, like, but as a medical student, he was mediocre.
You don't have to be good to dissect dead things. You have to be good to dissect living things and keep them alive.
True.
He had no intentions of keeping them alive.
He did admit to using cadavers to, like, for fraudulent claims to life insurance companies several times in college. So that was the beginning of his, like,
why don't we do
fraud?
That?
Because it's highly illegal and I have the anxiety. I don't even know
that's
how
it
works.
All the money just by stealing dead bodies.
I think there's a little bit more testing nowadays. Darby, no.
I kid.
So he admitted to using cadavers for fraudulent life insurance company claims several times in college. That was the beginning of his schemes and cons.
He was a con man.
Yes. So housemates described Holmes as treating Clara violently. So he was really abusive. He treated her very horribly. In 1884, she left him. And then really didn't hear much of him afterwards. Actually, there was like an attempt to divorce Clara, but apparently she never got the notice that he was trying to divorce her, and like they rejected his claim. So they were just kind of like, so he never divorced her. Fun fact.
But wouldn't she rather be divorced? Because back then, if you got divorced, you got a lot of money.
I guess he was violent. I guess at most she just wanted to get away.
Yeah.
And maybe not have him find her again.
Right.
Yeah. So in 1886, he moved to Chicago. This is when he changed his name to avoid being detected from any of his previous fraudulent activities.
Or his wife.
Yeah.
And child.
Yeah. Mostly the insurance. He didn't really care.
I don't care if my child gets a hold of me, but, you know.
He became Dr. Henry Howard Holmes. Or better known as Dr. H.H. Holmes. And so then in late 1886, while still married to Clara, he married Murda Belknap. Again, that's when he attempted to get divorced, but it never went anywhere. They were never divorced. So with Murda, he had a daughter named Lucy. And then later he marries Georgina Yoke on January 17th, 1894 in Denver, Colorado, while still married to both of his other wives.
I'm sorry. I'm just imagining, because Lucy probably married and got rid of her name.
Yes.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm imagining, like, doing some timeline now and finding out they're related to H.H. Holmes.
No, apparently she knew. And she was a school teacher.
She knew. But this was in 1800.
Yeah.
She's not still alive.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what
oh,
of
yeah,
us?
Yeah, back down. Like, oh, hello.
Like, now, being like, ooh.
Yeah. He now has three wives, which we'll get to.
Okay, we're up to three.
Yes. He has three wives. And this is around the time where he starts in Chicago to build his murder castle. The very famous H.H. Holmes.
I wanted to visit that for so long. It's destroyed.
So there was the Holton wife and husband duo. It was a Chicago drugstore owned by them. He apparently started out as an employee there, eventually worked his way up. He bought it out from them. And then he bought up like surrounding property, like an empty lot across from the drugstore. And so in 1887, he began building his two-story mixed-use building. So like there's homes on the second floor and then like retail spaces on the first floor. So kind of like they're popular nowadays where like there's stores mm-hmm. and then apartments up above.
Yes.
He's told everybody that he was trying to turn it into a hotel just in time for the 1893 World's Fair.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody really knew what he was doing to this place, obviously, because he kept changing contractors and workers constantly. He would fire them and hire them. No one knew the real plans or layout. What was in his home? What were bodies. All these crazy... You have to build it first. So he was building secret passages, trap doors, soundproof rooms, doors that could be locked from the outside, 51 doorways that opened to brick walls, 100 windowless rooms, stairs that led to nowhere, 2 furnaces, and body-sized chutes. So it's like a slip and slide.
I just want to build this home, but not to murder people, like, just for fun.
Well, you could go to the Winchester house. She didn't want to murder anyone. But she was just trying to keep the already dead.
I can't live in the Winchester house.
Nobody can.
I want to live in this house.
Yes. Gas jets to asphyxiate victims. So he would have like these hoses leading into hotel rooms so that whenever he deemed necessary, he could just like gas the hotel guests.
You were rude to me. Gas.
I mean, we'll get to why he did half the things that he did.
Whenever he deemed it necessary.
So this was about only 3 miles from the World's Fair where it was going to be. That way it was like pretty prime real estate. It was right there. Like, hey.
Hello.
The basement was designed as Holmes's own lab. It had a dissecting table, a stretching rack, and a crematory. Sometimes he would send the bodies down the chute, dissect them, strip them of the flesh, and sell them as human skeleton models to medical schools.
Perfect.
I mean, that's really clever.
No, it is really smart.
It is. I mean, honestly, they're just like, hey, I'm not only going... So most of his victims were insurance claims. Like, he had all of his employees, wives, hotel guests... Everybody take out life insurance policies where he was the beneficiary. So not only did he benefit from their initial death, he also then sold their skeleton.
If my boss ever comes to me and says, hey, I need to take out a life insurance claim and I'll be the beneficiary. The issue is no. Yeah.
Well, I have heard a couple podcasts that talk about H.H. Holmes. I'm pretty sure... ATWWD, and that's why we drink. They've talked about him and a couple other people. And from what I've heard, again, I really wasn't trying to focus on H.H. Holmes himself. But from what I've heard, most of these people coming to him were desperate in terms of money. They were trying to get away.
He was like, I'll give you a job if you take out life insurance claim with me.
He was known as being very charming.
Well, and I guess I know from the book, like, he would make deals with many people and be like, hey, we're all going to take out life insurance claim. I'll take one out. You'll be the beneficiary. You take one out. I'll be the beneficiary. Mm-hmm. And we'll get together on this.
Yep.
So I guess looking that way.
He was known as very charming, that manipulative. He could sweet talk his way into it. He was kind of, I would put him together kind of as like the Ted Bundy of this time.
I'll say, so I know everyone thinks that Ted Bundy's like super hot. And there's like 2 pictures that I've seen where he looks okay.
Mm-hmm.
I literally just saw this one picture of him and his girlfriend on the Ted Bundy files. And I was like, he's not attractive at all.
I think there's some photos I've seen of him where he's attractive and others where I'm like, he looks like a 70s man.
Yeah.
I mean, in that time frame, maybe he was hotter. But like nowadays, I'm like, yeah, like, he just looks old and dated.
Well, he was just like Holmes. Holmes looks creepy.
Yeah, but like I bet back then he was like super handsome.
But I guess to be fair, like the camera was not a normal thing, so he probably has one picture. The one picture we all see with his little hat.
Yes, the little bowler hat, the mustache. Like, he was very manipulative, very charming, very handsome. He would talk his way into whatever he needed. Some of his murders that he was most famous for, Julia Smith, his mistress.
Yeah.
She moved into Holmes's building and began working at his pharmacy's jewelry counter. Husband left Smith and her brother Pearl behind after finding out about the affair. Julia and Pearl disappeared on Christmas Eve of 1891.
Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
That's terrible!
I know. What's even worse is Holmes later claimed she had died during an abortion. Though what truly happened to the two was never confirmed.
Did he say he was giving the abortion?
I think so. I think that's what I've
he's a doctor,
read
right?
slash listened to. Yes. MLI Segrand began working for him in May 1892 and disappeared in that December. Edna Van Tassel, also believed to have been among Holmes's victims. Benjamin Pitizel, which was someone that Holmes met while working in the chemical bank building on Dearborn Street. This was his right-hand man for several criminal schemes and one of his most famous murders. Minnie Williams, a one-time actress. Poor Minnie.
Minnie Williams.
Minnie Williams.
Really was, I at first thought she said Minnie, and I was like, oh,
Minnie Williams.
That's a weird name.
Yes. There are many of the Williams.
I guess Minnie is also a little weird. I'm sorry if your name is Minnie.
Minnie Mouse?
Yeah, but she's not a real person. That's all
named
I think
after
of,
someone,
though.
Wasn't she?
What was that movie? It was Ross. It was Friends.
Mm-hmm.
When, in the first episode, where his wife is like, if it's a girl, we're going to name it Minnie. We already agreed. And he goes, as in mouse? You say Minnie, I think mouse.
Our daughter is not a mouse.
Anyway.
Holmes offered her a job at the hotel as his personal stenographer. And she accepted.
What's a stenographer?
Shorthand. So it's a symbolic writing method.
Like a secretary.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
He talked her into transferring the deed to her property. To a man named Alexander Bond, which was
not even himself.
No, it was himself. It was his alias.
Yeah, but she didn't know that.
Yep.
Just some random man.
And then Holmes was the notary on it. So
this girl wasn't smart.
Well, I mean, this guy is super manipulative and he's super charming and super cunning. And I mean, honestly, back then, like, what else did she, maybe she like was about to lose it if a man didn't own it or something like that.
Yeah, but if my boyfriend came up to me and said, this boyfriend, not even employee, my boyfriend said, hey, I need you to transfer your land to this random man you've never met before. I need you to do it.
Now. Like, I'll be the notary.
Like, no, can I just transfer it to you? Like,
yeah. Minnie's sister, Nanny, came to visit, and in July, she wrote to her aunt that she planned to accompany Brother Harry to Europe. They were never seen alive again after July 5th, 1893.
When you know some crazy things happened in Europe, like Jack the Ripper.
Just a wee bit.
In 1890s.
And who was thought to be a possibility of Jack the Ripper?
I'm just saying.
H.H. Holmes. He's also known as the American Ripper.
Lots of crazy things going on in Europe.
Yep. World's Columbian Exchange Exposition, also known as the World's Fair in Chicago in 1893. Huge event.
Yeah.
Super big.
Yes.
Holmes used this to seduce and murder a number of women, typically by becoming engaged and then killing them to get their life savings.
Did he seduce them first or murder them first?
Pretty sure seduce first. I have not seen any necrophilia yet.
Just a whole different psychological profile if he murdered them first.
Nope, just seduced. Okay. He wanted to get into their life insurance policy and their pants.
Oh, okay.
Insurance fraud. This was Holmes's coup de grace. He loved some insurance fraud. Started out as early as when he was in college. One of the biggest ones that he's known for and most famous. So in July 1894, Holmes was arrested, briefly incarcerated for the first time. He was promptly bailed out, but while in jail, he met a friend and struck up a conversation with Marion Hedgepeth, who was serving a 25-year sentence.
Okay, I have to ask, Marion, boy or girl?
I believe girl.
Okay, how did he meet a girl in prison?
Probably a man then.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just...
Boy.
Boy, okay.
Yes, a boy. Also known as the Handsome Bandit, the Debonair Bandit and the Derby Kid and the Montana Bandit. It was a famous Wild West outlaw.
The Derby Kid?
The Derby Kid. He met a Wild West bandit named Marion Hedgepeth, who was serving a 25-year sentence in the same jail.
He met a Wild West bandit in Chicago?
Yes.
But the West is not Chicago.
Well, they probably transferred him to a more secure
okay
place. They came up with this scheme to swindle an insurance company out of $10,000, or $290,000 in 2018. So Holmes was going to take out a life insurance policy on himself, which at this point, this guy's name has been on so many life insurance policies.
I don't know why there wasn't a red flag on his account.
I know. So he was going to put one on himself and then fake his death. So he's like, hey, thanks for helping me come up with the idea. I'll give you a $500 commission in exchange for, like, a name of a lawyer who will help me with this. So it's like, hey, help me out with somebody who will let this slide. Which, $500 out of $10,000, you can do a little bit better than that, Holmes.
A little bit.
Yep. It's not even 10%.
But it's still money.
He got 5%. Hedgepeth told him the name of a St. Louis attorney called Jephthah Ho. Jephthah Howe.
The Ho.
Jephthah Howe. Howe thought Holmes was brilliant, and this was a great scheme, and he said, this is great, I'm on board. But the plan failed. The insurance company was, like, a little bit suspicious and refused to pay, and Holmes didn't want to press his luck, so he was like, okay, we'll just let it slide. So then he turns to his right-hand man, Pitzel, and so Pitzel agreed to fake his own death so that his wife could collect on the $10,000 life insurance policy. Mm-hmm. And they were going to split it with Holmes and Howe. So it was going to be a three-way scheme.
Oh, yeah. This is the one I know about.
Yeah. So Pitzel was to claim to be an inventor under the name B.F. Perry and then be killed in a lab explosion. And he was supposed to be disfigured and, probably blown up because it's
a lab explosion.
A lab explosion. So Holmes was to find the appropriate cadaver, as though he is very good at. But instead, Holmes killed Pitzel and set his body on fire.
Oh, so this one actually wasn't really a fraud.
Nope, he actually killed him. Although I think the life insurance policy, well, yes, would still probably go to the wife, would not go to Holmes.
No, but it wasn't fraud.
It was not.
He did it.
Yes. So he did get the insurance payout because there was a genuine Pitzel corpse.
Mm-hmm.
Certified organic.
Certified organic.
I
didn't know that. He could have eaten conventional things.
True.
And then he could have been killed and set ablaze with conventional gasoline.
Okay, you've worked in a grocery store for too long.
There's so many things that make it organic. We don't know.
Was he grass-fed? Was he so many miles away away from conventional farms?
Do you have grass-fed pork? Bam. Pigs don't eat grass.
Not gonna lie, I probably would have made that mistake. Because I'm just like, grass-fed chicken?
Not a thing.
Ma'am.
Not
have you ever seen a chicken eat grass? I'm like, you know what? I've seen my dog eat grass. I'm going with it. At this point, Pitzel's wife did not know that he was actually dead. So Holmes manipulated her to let 3 of her 5 children be in Holmes's custody.
Perfect.
And the eldest and the baby remained with Mrs. Pitzel.
Okay, at least the baby wasn't with Holmes.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you be like, here you go, strange man.
Sure, my husband's missing, but you say it's just an insurance thing. Oh,
and
it's
fine.
And
you took out an insurance claim on my husband? Here's my babies.
Yep, you can have my 3, it's the middle children.
Middle children. They just...
Aren't you in the exact middle?
Yeah. I am. I'm the exact middle. It's fine.
Yes. So she gave up all of her worthless middle children.
I would have been a worthless child, given up to H.H. Holmes.
All I care about is my eldest and the child and the baby.
Okay, so at least there would have been 5 going down with me.
Yeah.
No, wait, way more than 5.
9, take away 2. 7.
7!
Yes.
7 going down with me.
7 of your siblings are going down.
No! not just me.
Sorry, Darby's mom.
Mom, I know you wouldn't have given me up to H.H. Holmes.
So your mom would get Mother of the Year. We don't know if Mrs. Pitzel would.
She definitely would not.
Holmes and the three children traveled throughout the United States into Canada, while also Miss Pitzel was on a parallel route next to him. So that she's just like lying to her the whole time concerning her husband. It's like, oh, no. He's hiding in London. It's fine. Your husband's fine. No, you haven't heard from him. He's hiding in London while this insurance thing's coming out.
So did she know?
No.
She
didn't know he was dead.
She just went with Holmes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, at this point, Pitzel was Holmes's right-hand man. They were really close. They were friends.
I know, it's just a little suspicious when you're like, no, don't worry. I promise he's in London. My husband did not murder your husband.
Remember, he's also lying about the whereabouts of the three children.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
So I think I'd be a little bit more concerned about my children. Clearly, rather than this woman wasn't. My grown husband.
Clearly, this woman was not worried about her children. She was just like, here they are.
So at one point, while they're like traveling parallel to each other up to Canada.
Uh-huh.
They stopped in Detroit, and they were only about three blocks away from each other. And Holmes was staying in another location with his wife, who had no idea about anything that was going on. So Holmes, that's a lot of things to juggle all at once.
Wow. He was good.
Yeah.
He should have been in the circus.
Two out of the three children that Holmes had in his custody, Alice and Nellie, he killed them by forcing them into a large trunk and locking them inside.
Terrible.
Yep.
How long were they locked up?
Not for long.
Oh, okay.
Because he drilled a hole in the lid of the trunk and put one end of a hose through the hole, attaching the other end to a gas line.
Wait, okay. So I'm thinking trunk of a car. True or
no,
false?
Like a trunk.
Oh, like a suitcase?
Yes.
Oh. How small were these children?
I mean, they're children.
Okay, I know lots of different sized children.
Is there a picture of the children?
Not of. Maybe.
Alive, I hope?
Hold on one moment. Let me find this picture.
Wait.
That's him about to put the child in the trunk.
The child?
Yes.
That looks like a clown.
Well, this very is a muscular. Cartoon.
He's very muscular.
Where is... There's a better one.
We will post that picture because that... It might be because I just drank a whole bottle of wine to myself, but that picture looks kind of funny.
There's the two children.
Oh, so it's a big trunk.
Yes.
Also, why is there a cartoon of this?
Well, I mean...
And why do the kids look
like...
I don't think
he took out a camera at this moment to film him doing this.
The kids look like, this is sad and tragic. I want my mom, but also I'm not going to fight.
Yeah, I'm like, pretty sure in real life...
They're this is fine.
IRL, they're probably screaming.
Everything's okay.
Yes, everything's fine. It's good.
I'm not happy, but I'm not sad either.
Nope, at this point in time, they're probably screeching.
I was thinking, like, suitcase, like, briefcase. So I was like, how small are they?
One of those, like, big old classic giant ones.
Okay.
So he buried their nude bodies in the cellar of his rental house.
Why were they naked?
Because H. Holmes is a twisted mofo.
Kids!
Yeah, I'm not sure he's, like, doing anything. I mean, mostly he probably just got rid of the clothes.
Her children!
The clothes probably smelled like gas.
Necrophilia and children should never go together.
When was necrophilia mentioned?
Like 20 minutes ago when I mentioned it.
Oh my god. So, at this time, Frank Geyer was a Philadelphia police detective. He was investigating Holmes and the missing children. He found the bodies of the two children in the cellar. So, Holmes was finally arrested in Boston on November 17th, 1894. Oh. So they actually, after arresting him and finding the bodies, in July 1895, they began investigating the murder castle. So a lot of sensational claims were made about this house, but in fact, really little to no evidence was found in the home. So
just all the tunnels.
Yeah, all the, like, the passageways and everything were real, but the torture equipment wasn't.
Oh.
Actually, yeah, that was all
fabricated.
Apparently all fabricated and just fiction that we have nowadays. So, Mudgett, back to his real name, confessed to 27 murders, But he, of course, said that he then later said he didn't kill anyone. And then he said he killed a lot more of those, around 130. Some people suggest that the real number is exceeding 200 people.
We can guarantee 30. The rest is questionable.
Actually, we can only plausibly confirm 9. And several of the people that he claimed to have murdered out of the 27 were still alive.
What?
So that's why, like, he kept lying. Like, nobody knew what was true.
I murdered that page girl.
Hello? I'm right here.
No, you're not. You're not real.
One example of this case was after his arrest, he claimed to have killed his one of his classmates back in medical school, Dr. Robert Leacock, in 1886. But he actually died in Ontario, Canada, in 1889.
Maybe he just, like, imagined it. Like, is he a delusional?
No evidence of that, but that's an interesting theory.
And it's like, I did kill him.
If anything, he's known for his tall tales. We'll get to this in, like, 2 bullet points. Okay. But he is known for, like, his tall tales and kind of, like, making him seem better than he actually was.
Or worse, depending on your outlook on Lynn.
So, on May 7th, 1896, which is only 9 days before his birthday.
Yeah!
He was hanged in Moyamensing Prison, also known as the Philadelphia County Prison, for the murder of Pitzel. So, a lot of people said, like, he was totally calm and amicable, even, like, right before his death. But he did ask for his coffin to be contained in cement and buried 10 feet deep.
I heard of that, yeah.
Because he didn't want grave robbers to steal his body and use it for dissection.
How ironic.
I think we should do exactly that.
Where is his grave? Somebody?
Has been found. He has been dug up.
Oh, he was?
Yes. There was a conspiracy theory about whether or not it was actually Holmes who was hanged and killed and buried. Some people are saying now that DNA evidence has proven that it is Holmes, although apparently one of his ancestors is saying no. I don't really know.
Okay, but I probably would be like no, just for the publicity.
Yeah. I won't go more into it because I don't want to toe the line if you do end up doing that one, because that is actually recently done.
I'm doing that. We're not.
But. Yes. It was very recent, so I do know more information, but I'm withholding.
I was not aware of that. Yes. Anyway, I'm a little upset, but...
Oh! I trumped Darby on a conspiracy!
Guys, I know I do conspiracy theories, but I'm actually not this huge conspiracy theorist.
I have known, like, one theory she's done so far.
You said you knew all of them.
Well, like, most of them, like, I know of, but I don't know, like, details of.
I was so excited to be Cooper, because I was like, I finally get to surprise her on something! I thought you knew everything.
No, most of these I was like, what? I know the name of it. No, so I trumped Darby on a conspiracy theory. Anyway, this is gonna go down in podcast history. But anyway, I think we should totally have done that, steal his body and dissected it and sold his skeleton for medical science
for just a lot of money. Here's H.H. Holmes' body.
Yep. But kind of in a little bit of karma for him, when they hung him, he did not snap his neck. He actually hung there for 15 minutes before being pronounced dead, 20 minutes after the trap had been sprung.
That's depressing.
I mean, but is it deserved?
I know he was a horrible human being, but I don't believe in the death penalty. So that makes me sad.
I'll let it slide. So, why, oh, why, Holmes, why did you do it?
Why?
I don't have a definite answer for you. I honestly don't. Well, because of Holmes and his tall tales and a lot of unknowns surrounding his case, like, we don't even have a total body count. We don't know where half the bodies are because they were sold to medical science.
So, it wasn't the skeleton.
It was the skeleton. Well, we'll get to that. So, there are a lot of theories and thoughts as to why he was. One that I kind of came up with was that it's all about the money.
Yes.
So he was, as early as college, was doing those insurance schemes. He required all of his employees to carry life insurance policies on him. He sold the bodies of his victims. And then after getting arrested, Mudgett sold his story out. And then, like, filled the story full of lies just so he could get the money.
I mean, fair.
He was the subject of more than 50 lawsuits in Chicago alone. When they were building his murder castle, he refused to pay any of the architect or the steel company, and they sued him. And then he added a third floor, telling the investors that he wanted to use it as a hotel, but it was never completed. And so when furniture people, like, that Holmes had hired were giving him furniture, Holmes was hiding the furniture in the little secret passageways and saying that he never got them and he never paid for them.
That's brilliant, actually.
So they, like, find him in the passageways and they're like, so there's that sofa you said you never got.
That is actually brilliant. Let me build a home with all these passageways that nobody knows about. And yeah. I'm just going to hide the furniture there and get more furniture and then sell the old furniture and exactly. get all the money.
So every move that he ever made was in some sort of scheme or act to try to get money. So for me, it may have just all been about the money.
It was to support his three wives.
Yeah, his three wives, two and, children.
Yeah.
His love of death.
And the three other children. What happened to the other child?
I mean, both of them just kind of...
He had three! No, not his own children. He stole three children and murdered two.
I don't know.
So what happened to the other one?
I don't know what happened to the other child. I only know what happened to that one. I'm sorry, guys. Maybe it was a lack of research. I could not find anything on that third child.
Like, wait. He stole three. There's one missing.
I don't know. So send us an email if I missed
that. If you are the third child.
Yeah.
Hit us up.
Reach up. You're probably a little bit older now. I'm sorry.
Maybe you're the grandchild of the third child.
Well, actually, wait, no. They're probably about our parents' age.
Yeah. My mom was born in the 60s. When were your parents born?
The 70s.
Okay, when was Holmes murdered?
Do.
He was committing murders in the 90s. I don't think he was 80 years old.
He was hung in 1890. I'm thinking of in 1990.
I'm like, disagree. Drastically disagree.
So, child that's now 120. That's our parents' age.
I don't know how old your parents are, but mine are not that old.
We're from a family of vampires, didn't you know? So the other theories, there's the one that I talked about earlier, that he was just a charming, manipulative killer. Holmes wrote himself in his confession that I was born with the devil in me. I cannot help the fact that I was a murderer, no more than a poet can help the inspiration to sing. Poets do not sing, but we're going with it, Holmes.
I've heard that quote. I like that quote. I'm sorry, I'm weird.
No, I when I read it, I was like, ooh, that's fun. Detective Geyer, he was mentioned thinking that Holmes was just having fun the entire time. He liked the power. He liked the ability to play God. He wanted to possess people like they were pawns. And then when he got bored, he just killed him.
I mean, I guess.
He found the chase thrilling, like being on the run from all these different people, and wanted to see how far he could get himself. And it was all just a game to him. And he always won.
I could see that.
So another one of the most popular ones, there were a lot of early childhood warnings. People say that he had a very strict religious and abusive childhood, that his father was very, very abusive. He was very violent. Some people have said that he was torturing animals as a child, but contemporary and eyewitness accounts of his childhood do not provide proof of either. So that one's kind of unknown. Last but not least, the one that you alluded to earlier is that he was bullied as a child. So school playground, the other children were bullying him. They found out that Holmes was afraid of doctors. So they locked him up they forced him to stand in front of a human skeleton in a doctor's office and stare at it. And back then, these were real life skeletons. Like that.
I would have been terrified.
Yeah, rightly so. But some people say that while he was probably scared at first, they actually kind of thrilled him and led to his fascination and his unhealthy obsession with death.
Which is also not okay.
Not okay. So they're like, he's sitting there murdered. Staring at the skeleton, and something clicked within him, and it was like, this is it. This is what I was born to do.
This is when I commit my first murder.
I have found my destiny. So yes, there is no definite why H.H. Holmes was H.H. Holmes. We don't even know if he was Jack the Ripper or not, as mentioned in Darby's earlier podcast.
Yes, possible.
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 But yeah, that is H.H. Holmes. That is all I have for us. Unfortunately, I didn't want to go too much into H.H. Holmes himself. If you are interested, like we talked about with Darby's last episode, maybe it's a Patreon episode. We go a little bit more in depth if yes. you so require. We're totally willing to take Patreon requests.
Yes, 100%. We will make Patreon episodes.
Yeah, just Darby will make these.
That would not be a good episode. It wouldn't.
Just Darby sitting alone. So, friends. She's like sitting here. Hello, friends. Welcome to Mad as a Hatter, a conspiracy and characters. Just like bouncing back and forth.
The next day, I'm going to be locked up.
Rocking back and forth.
It was Mad all for Patreon. Mad as a
Hatter. Follow us on Facebook. I'm down to listen to that.
It would not go well.
I would feel so anxious. I'm like, is this funny or not? I can't hear somebody laugh. Your
money back.
So let's decide what I'm talking about next week.
Let's see.
What is it?
Cannibalism.
Ooh! I'm sorry, I'm really excited.
Which is really funny because that kind of goes with what I'm talking about that week, too.
Oh, yeah, you're doing Wendigos, aren't you?
Yeah.
Ooh, episode 13, Wendigos. Episode 14, cannibalism.
It will be amazing.
I'm excited. I think I have some pretty good, I can come I'm up excited. With some pretty cool stuff on that.
If you don't mention JD, I'm going to be a little upset.
I just shot her a look like, come on like now.
That. Or that one guy that I mentioned in episode one. Or two, whatever.
Cannibalism comes back always.
You better mention him too. Sorry, I'm just dropping hits. So if you haven't listened to episode two, go back and check it out.
Back you go.
Back it up.
No, he's going to be mentioned. We're also going to look up the pronunciation of his name.
Yeah, I don't know.
So yes.
Mom, can you help?
Actually, contact our German friend.
She told me I was saying it wrong the whole time and definitely corrected Thanks. Me. Sorry,
That's
Mom.
What we need. Awesome. So yes, that will be episode 13 and 14. Check us out to listen to those. As always, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, Snapchat. I think those are our social
Instagram.
Medias. Instagram. We now have five.
Five. We're five. Getting that's all the ones I know of.
Yes. Snapchat and Reddit are under me. You can find Snapchat at Mad Hatter Pod. Mad is a Hatter Pod. Yes. What am I doing? I don't even remember.
Yes.
You can find us on Snapchat.
Mad Hatter Podcast.
Mad Hatter Podcast on Snapchat. You can find us at Mad Hatter Podcast on Reddit.
Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook are all Mad as a Hatter.
Yes. You can email us at madhatterpodcast@gmail.com. And our Patreon, I believe, is also
patreon.com/madasahatterpodcast.
Yes. So any sort of typey type that you have to do that is some combination of our name, it I'm sorry, me. Guys. We're going to try to mainstream them all into one.
Well, we're trying. The problem was
some usernames were taken.
Mad as a Hatter was taken with the ones we had to add podcast to.
Yes. So we are working very hard. You will read it. I'm working on forming a community for us. That's going to be all you guys wanting to hear from you. Email us. Give us some hat topics.
I might stalk it, but I'm not going to be posting on it.
Yes, you will see Mad Hatter Podcast user commenting on it. Probably not my personal one, though.
I'll be stalking it.
Dun. The Megalodon's coming back. Yes. So, as always, thank you for listening.
See you on our next trip down the rabbit hole.